The dog fence, stretching from southeastern Queensland to the Eyre Peninsula in South Australia, is the world's longest fence. But sheep producers in central western Queensland are lobbying for it to be made even longer, 1,400 kilometres longer. They're warning the sheep industry's very survival is under threat from wild dogs, and governments need to step in to save it. Cathy Van Exdell reports.
Queensland, 20 years ago, had 19 million sheep. We're down to 1.8 million today. Australia rode on the sheep's back. Now we haven't got any sheep to even ride out of the gate.
Sheep producer Bill Chandler from Barcaldine is worried about the future of his industry. He warns it can't survive the ever-growing menace of wild dogs.
We've tried 1080. Most people now won't even bother to chuck bait out. They're just sick of it because they just keep pouring in from the east all the time. And I'd spend 2 to 3 days a week just before we had put our fence up around our property, just chasing dogs.
So you've outlaid a considerable amount of money to fence your own property, something like 34 kilometres. Has that made an impact?
Oh, sure has. We get the odd dog in because we haven't completely finished the fence. We've still got a couple of K to go. But we used to run 8,000 sheep here, and within 5 years breeding every year and not selling a sheep, we were back to 2,100. 80% of that problem was the dogs just decimating our flock. Now we're back to nearly 4,000 again, and we've got a long way to go to build our numbers back up to where they should be.
Bill Chandler has spent $230,000 in recent years erecting a 2-metre-high fence around his property, Hillalong. 18 months ago, he proposed building a dog fence to protect 6 million hectares of sheep country in Queensland's central west. A state government-funded feasibility study has found there's an economic case for the $13 million fence.
The bottom line for the study was that it's costing shires of Blackall, Barcaldine, Longreach and a bit of Barcoo around about $13 million a year in lost productivity.
The 1,400-kilometre fence would be an extension to the existing dog fence, or dingo fence as it was once called. Built in the 1880s, it stretches 5,614 kilometres from near Dalby in southern Queensland to west of Eyre Peninsula on the cliffs of the Nullarbor Plain, above the Great Australian Bight. But there's concern amongst sheep producers in Queensland's southwest, around Winton and Quilpie, that wild dog attacks would be made worse outside the new fence, a point Bill Chandler concedes.
Yes, they will have a problem, but if there's a fence there and the number of sheep properties that will abut that fence, it's very practical for them to do cluster fencing off that fence.
The biggest challenge for the sheep producers is convincing both the state and federal governments to join industry in funding the project.
We don't seem to be able to get any commitment from the state government because one's looking at the other to commit. All we need is for the state government, because they're the ones that are going to have to drive this, to commit, and we know the federal government will then dollar for dollar match. But until one of these governments commits, we're just sitting there, we don't know where we're going. And this is becoming extremely important now because, you know, we've lost 100,000 sheep in the last 6 months out of this area from people just getting out of sheep completely. If you draw a line from Almack to Blackall, there would have been 60 properties that ran sheep there 10 years ago. Now there are 6 or 7. Most of them have gone into cattle, and the sheep industry is just getting pushed back the whole time, and it won't be long before there's no sheep left at all.
Desert ecologist Thomas Newsom believes the feasibility study should have looked at the question of the viability of the sheep industry in the Central West.
I think it's important to recognise that dingoes and sheep really do not mix. The effects in cattle areas are much less. Predation by dingoes on calves and cattle is something that can be managed a bit better than sheep. So I guess that gets back to a broader question then, is should sheep be run in this country, in that particular part of the country? Is that something that the producers out there really need to maintain viable industries, or is running cattle something that is going to be appropriate over the long term?
Dr. Newsom is an honorary research fellow of the Desert Ecology Research Group at the University of Sydney and this year's New South Wales Fulbright Scholar. He argues the environmental impacts of the proposed fence need to be examined. Dr. Newsom says major studies on the ecological impacts of the existing dog fence have found that dingoes suppress the numbers of kangaroos, emus, rabbits, red foxes, and possibly feral cats. He says Australia needs to better understand the ecological role of wild dogs.
Over the last 200 years, Australia has the highest extinction rate out of anywhere in the world. At least 22 small to medium-sized mammals have gone extinct. And in almost every case, predation by foxes and feral cats have been implicated in these extinctions. Western New South Wales and some of these areas in the inside of the dingo fence have really been hammered and have high extinction rates. These studies are showing that where dingoes are present, that some of these effects are reduced, and so this is why people are starting to look into it more carefully to fully tease out the ecological role of the dingoes and how dingoes could be used to suppress these predation events by foxes and feral cats.
Dr. Newsom is currently in the US studying wolves. He says while the ecosystems are different, there are similarities in the ecological and scientific debates around wolves and dingoes.
In the US, wolves are virtually extirpated from the lower 48 states. In 1995-96, they decided to reintroduce wolves back into the ecosystem some 70 years after they were removed. This was done in Yellowstone National Park and surrounding areas, and this has really provided an unprecedented opportunity to explore how top predators interact with co-occurring predators and prey. And currently, wolves are now recolonising managed landscapes where there are more competing interests with humans. So the case study of wolves in the United States is actually a very good one that Australians can learn from in terms of the ecological role of top predators, but also to how to minimise the impacts of large predators on livestock operations.
The ecologist suggests that if the dog fence is extended, that Australia follow the US example and allow wild dogs in a national park as an environmental offset.
There have been proposals to reintroduce dingoes, for example, into some areas of Australia on the inside of the dingo fence. If a new section of the dingo fence gets built, perhaps study could be conducted at the same time and other parts of the dingo fence be truncated to allow these sort of scientific experiments. Sturt National Park is in Cameron's Corner. A national park is probably the easiest way where you could conduct these sorts of studies.
Ecologist Dr. Thomas Newsom, this year's New South Wales Fulbright Scholar, ending that report by Cathy Van Exdell. 21 minutes to nine.
This week on The List, two different generations and their perspectives on negotiating life in the attention economy. A self-described baby boomer who believes it's time we accept every part of our lives is public and get over it. And a 26-year-old self-confessed media manipulator who says beware, all's fair in the digital age. That's The List with me, Cassie McCullough, this afternoon at 5.30.